This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer.
No justice, no kings, no justice.
No kings protests across the country. It's the second one this year. More than 2,600 events nationwide. It's all being done to, in their words, fight back against what demonstrators call an abusive power by the Trump administration. A massive evacuation in Alaska after a powerful typhoon in the far North Pacific. The typhoon pushed the waters of the Bering Sea onto the southwest shores of the state. ABC's Jacqueline Lee reports.
It's been a week since more than 6 feet of storm surge and 100-mile-an-hour winds destroyed homes, killing at least one person. At least two still missing. Remote coastal towns only accessible by air or water were hit the hardest.
More than 1,000 people have already been airlifted. In the Middle East, Israel says Hamas handed over two coffins of deceased hostages from Gaza. Prior to today, the militant group had handed over the remains of 10 of the 28 hostages left in Gaza. This is ABC News. The FAA says inspectors worked through the shutdown as part of a review into the production of a troubled aircraft.
Almost 2 years since a door plug blew off a Boeing 737 MAX jet operated by Alaska Airlines in midair, the FAA is raising its cap on the number of 737 MAX jets Boeing can produce each month from 38 to 42. The FAA says inspectors carried out extensive reviews of construction lines to ensure this can be done safely. The FAA is maintaining its oversight of Boeing's production process, implementation of safety management systems, and whistleblower protections. Brian Clark, ABC News.
In a message posted to X today, disgraced former Congressman George Santos says he spoke today with President Trump. This a day after Santos was released from a New Jersey prison after President Trump commuted his 7-year sentence. The Republican pleaded guilty to two felony counts of wire fraud and identity theft. Dave Packer, ABC News.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our state's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local-state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
The Brewers' season comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers were once again dominated by the Dodgers in Los Angeles. The Dodgers winning 5-1 to complete a 4-game sweep of Milwaukee. The Brewers going from the best record in baseball to runners-up in the postseason again. Manager Pat Murphy.
We've talked about being an inch from the top and an inch from the bottom. And we faced a really, really talented team that played really, really good.
The Dodgers starting pitcher, Shohei Ohtani, named the series MVP after pitching 6 scoreless innings, striking out 10 batters, and hitting 3 home runs in the game, one that left the ballpark.
There's a reason why he's the greatest player on the planet. You know, what he did on the mound, what he did at the bat, he created a lot of memories for a lot of people. And so for us to do it in a game-clinching game at home, wins the NLCS MVP, pretty special, and I'm just happy to be able to go along for the ride.
That's Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
107.7 WRCE, news from the center and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a couple of showers around the area. Low in the mid-40s. Early clouds, then sun returns later tomorrow. High, upper 50s. A touch breezy. Monday, partly sunny. A high in the mid-60s. A chance of showers late. It's 69 degrees right now.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap all the events from the weekend, including local No Kings rallies across Wisconsin. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Matinair on Air.
Hi, it's Jane Matinair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matinair on Air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Maybe what's happening at the school board needs to be disrupted.
Jim Santel and Joan Esposito, the Wisconsin teacher losing their job because of a social media post. The teacher's tweet disrupted the district's operations.
Judge says that overcomes the right of the teacher to speak publicly.
What if this were 60 years ago and she were putting up a post about desegregating the school?
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area. Dan Schaefer is here. Wanted to talk a little bit about an article that is in the Cap Times about 200 teachers. This is the headline from Danielle DeCloy. 200 teacher sexual misconduct grooming cases shielded from the public.
Yeah, this is a very serious story. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one that we need to be talking about. And it's not an easy read. But I'd encourage people to read this. This is an investigative piece that has been in the works for quite some time at the Cap Times, it sounds like. And it may be part of another investigation or part of like a multi-part investigation that they are doing here. But I will give you kind of I'll read from the story just kind of like the main newsy piece of this here saying, quote, a year-long investigation by the Cap Times found the State Department of Public Instruction investigated more than 200 Wisconsin teachers, aides, substitutes, and administrators from 2018 to 2023 who were accused of sexual misconduct or grooming behaviors towards students. Information previously unknown to the public. So this story delves into these kind of secret investigations that DPI has been having about various teachers across the state,
right?
And not making this information public. There's a lot about why, you know, what has gone into this and what the investigations exactly are. But I think that the investigation also found a number of things that do not look good for State Superintendent Jill Underlie. Mm-hmm. And do not look good for just the way this organization is run largely. So there have been a number of Republican state legislators who have issued press releases or calling for further investigation or calling for some sort of, you know, hearings to happen at the state capitol and all of that. And the Cap Times investigation, I'll quote again here, also found that the department run by Jill Underlie relies on a, quote, a rudimentary system to track its investigations, obscuring the scale of misconduct for policymakers and the public. And as the Cap Times was doing this interview, and this is always telling from like the journalist standpoint on this, Underlie refused to be interviewed for
this
piece.
That's never good. No.
And that's never good. And I think this is, you know, we're just starting to see some of the reaction come out. I think two state senators wrote a press release yesterday, John Jagler and Romaine Quinn, Republican state senators, calling for more information and more of an investigation on this. Robin Voss put something out yesterday too. Have not seen, you know, many Democrats or anybody else talk about this, but I think, you know, this is a really serious story. And I think, you know, there's been a number of, you know, just like scrutiny leveled at Underly at DPI over the past couple of years. I think that, you know, obviously the previous issue was the changing of standards. And I think, you know, the GOP kind of weaponized that to a certain degree in some of their messaging. But this is, I don't know why you would not
make this public,
mm-hmm. make this a greater investigation, because if DPI is not taking this seriously or seriously enough, that's a problem.
It is a problem.
Absolutely. I, you know, also make it clear that Jill Underling, if you don't know who she is, she's the head of the DPI, but she also just won re-election as well. So it's like the fact that none of this came out, or I mean, not the article itself even, but just the information during the election was very surprising to me. And I read the article and just from the very beginning, it's a teacher who, instead of getting fired, quit so he could keep his teacher's license. And to me, that is absolutely reprehensible, and I'll quit, but you know, shouldn't be around children anymore, period. That's just how it should be. But this is something that I agree with you, Dan, needs to be discussed further.
But I think that the Republicans, if they're going to come out outraged about this,
yeah,
then they best expect, well, then where's your vote on the Epstein files?
Sure.
I'm sorry, if we're all concerned about children and keeping children safe, you don't get to pick and choose mm-hmm. which story outrages you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would even, mm-hmm. I mean, I'd even take it to the point of just these Republicans. I haven't had a chance to read the press releases yet, but let's also focus on what's important here and say, all right, we need to get DPI in order. This needs to be investigated. This needs to be taken care of. And not what we're doing now is seeing the weaponization of any event whatsoever becoming the liberal blah, blah, blah. Like that dilutes the topic, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And if they're really concerned, Epstein file notwithstanding, but if they're really concerned about the DPI, our schools and the kids, then this has got to be a very intentional investigation, and they got to look for answers instead of trying to vilify or ostracize people. That'll happen. Let that happen on its own. But if we're going to find out the details, then let's make that the priority, and protecting kids. Mm-hmm. That's always the thing, is protecting the children that we seem to say we care about.
We do seem to say that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think that there's cause for a bipartisan push to investigate this further here.
Absolutely.
I don't think they should make this a partisan thing to look into what's going on here. I think this needs to be a bipartisan push to figure out what's going on at DPI.
Yep.
There should be no sacred cows here.
Absolutely.
When it comes to anything, especially when it comes to the safety of the children in the state of Wisconsin.
Agreed.
And so I think the fact that they have clearly, as the report indicates, taken steps to make sure that these investigations are not public. And I think, you know, the public has a right to know what DPI is investigating, what teachers might be, mm-hmm. you know, putting children at risk. Like this is serious stuff.
It is.
Yeah. And it needs to be taken seriously. And you know, obviously this just came out. It's a huge report. It's a lot to process. But I think there's reason for a bipartisan investigation into what's going on here.
I think at the very, and from just the political side of it, for Jill Underly to say, I want a press conference. I want a reporter in the room. I want to talk to somebody. We're putting control the narrative and say, this is what's happened. This is what we're doing. You have the right to know, because you are the public. You are the taxpayers. You are the parents. And the fact that this has stayed under the rug for so many years is, this is very, very bad. And I'm going to warn, I will put the story in the show notes. I will warn you, there are things in this story that can be triggering or just make you not feel, you have to be prepared when you read this. There are very, very specific,
it's a tough read,
stories here, and it is a tough read, but we need to know these things. And has there been any Democratic leaders whatsoever who've stood up and said anything, along, maybe even standing next to a Robin Voss or whomever?
Now, we've just seen the statements yesterday. I mean, this is all very new.
Just broke.
This story was just published, I believe, yesterday or the day before, late the day before, or something like that. So I think we're still in the initial phase of reading this and reacting, and who knows how this came up. But, you know, it's just there's the information here is really startling. Another one here. I'll quote again, out of 461 teachers the state investigated from 2018 to 2023 for all forms of misconduct, 207 kept their credentials and continue working. Again, if they are doing these investigations and finding out that, you know, something that everything was above board or whatever, these also should be made public.
Well, right. We should There's a big distinction there.
And so I think, you know, sunlight is a good thing. Making these public is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And doing these with a lack of transparency. And I think it's really bad that Underly declined to interview for this. Like, if there is a process for, like, how this works that maybe the public doesn't understand, or there are, like, legal certain, you know, hurdles that they would have to jump through to make this private, like, help us understand why you're doing things the way you're doing things. And if you're declining an interview for an investigative piece like this, that is going to make these things worse. That is going to make these things worse. And I think that's what's happening right now. And I think that the silence that you're hearing from DPI after this story, like, there's been, you know, a half dozen Republican state legislators who have issued press releases. DPI can't comment on this story.
Right.
They can't they can't have their, you know, any leadership be interviewed for this, or just like to help us understand what's going on. Maybe there is a reason that they do things that the way that they do things. But by refusing to have the conversation and refusing to, you know, defend your process or whatever it might be, it makes it look like you're putting children at risk. And that's a huge, huge problem.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Aaron Air, we're speaking with Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer here. And we're discussing an article in the Cap Times that is an investigative article that has shown that DPI has hidden the investigation on 200 teacher sexual misconduct. So I'm sorry. I'm just going to read the. I'm going to read the headline. 200 teachers' sexual misconduct grooming cases shielded from public by the DPI. That is the Cap Times by Danielle DeClose is the last name.
If we missed the pronunciation, but yeah, that's my understanding too.
I will put this in the show notes so you can read it yourself. Again, this is a very, very.
It's a tough read.
And the thing too, Dan, I will say, is that one of the things we talked about during the last election when it came to this position is the fact that I think Civic Media spoke to her opponent more than we spoke to her. She also was not available for interviews. And this looks bad. And you know this is happening. You're telling me somewhere in that building there isn't a piece of paper in a drawer with that has press release language on there saying, when we get found out, we at least have something to say. But they don't. That tells me that they were operating under the guise of, well, this is how we do it. Once again, this is how it's always been done, and that's all.
Well, but again, if that is the case, then the public deserves to know what these processes are and what protocols you are following ostensibly to investigate these cases.
Yeah.
And you don't want to put somebody's name in there who was not charged. That leads to a whole nother set of problems.
Right. Exactly. But I think by the fact that they're not answering questions from the media on this, it's going to lead to, you don't want to answer questions from the Cap Times, you're going to get a public hearing in the Wisconsin State Legislature now. That's where you're going to have to answer the questions next.
Yep.
You know, like from a political standpoint, I don't know how this is going to break, but this is, it's just a very, very serious story. And I think we have to treat it as such. And you know, And this might not be the end of it. I mean, this is a Cap Times first of many investigative stories looking into DPI, looking into what's going on there. There's a lot of troubling revelations in this piece, a lot of questions raised. And again, there's some stuff that we probably shouldn't talk about on the radio for some of the details that are in this piece. But go check it out. This is a really important investigative story, and it deserves serious scrutiny and perhaps a bipartisan investigation.
From a political standpoint, this is a terrible way for Jill Enderly to start her second term.
Not
really is.
Not good. When we return, boys, they'll just be boys. even if they're 31, 34, 36, they're just boys. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, creator of the Recombobulation Area, is here. It is Friday. He joins us on Fridays. Wanted to talk a little bit about the whole boys will be boys thing. It ain't no big thing. Who doesn't love a little Hitler and make gas chamber jokes and say rape is epic?
I don't.
You don't?
I do not.
Are you not a boy?
I am a man.
I thought boys all said things like that when they're just chatting amongst themselves.
It goes back to that whole thing from the 2016 election of locker room talk. That was one of the greatest deflections I've ever heard in my life, when the now president of the United States on a hot mic caught saying what you can do to a woman, especially when you're rich. I knew we were in trouble when I just saw, you know, it's locker room talk. Don't worry about it.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. This goes back to a political article from just a couple of days ago. I love Hitler. Leaked messages expose young Republicans' racist chat. Thousands of private messages reveal young GOP leaders joking about gas chambers, slavery, and rape, as one does, apparently. If you listen to Vice President J.D. Vance, Calvin, I believe we have a clip from Mr. Vance. Could we play that, please?
By focusing on what kids are saying in a group chat, grow up. I'm sorry. Focus on the real issues. Don't focus on what kids say in group chats.
They're kids?
Well, no. But also, we shouldn't focus on those, Jane. What we should be focusing on is the social media post about people making comments about Charlie Kirk so we can call their employees and get them fired, because that's what he told people to do. So, again, Mr. Vance, make a decision. I know you won't, because you are a coward. But that's just, for me, that is some of the one of the most infuriating things about this turnaround. Charlie Kirk died, what, a month ago? And people were yelling and screaming. People should be fired for the things they say. But now, don't worry about it, guys.
It's fine. Yeah. Their boys will be boys. These are people in their 30s. These are not boys.
Exactly.
These are not children.
These are people who are closer to J.D. Vance's age and my age as millennials than, you know, some sort of Gen Alpha high school nitwit, you know. And there's nothing that Republicans won't excuse as long as you agree with them.
It sure seems that way.
J.D. Vance going out of his way to defend this.
Yes.
Not just saying, oh, I don't think this is a big deal. Like, we got bigger things to worry about. I'm the vice president, blah, blah, blah. He's going out of his way to defend
nothing.
This.
It's a nothing burger.
Yeah.
Well, two more members of this young Republican group chat have stepped down from their jobs.
But it was just jokes, Shane.
I know. And they've got pictures with Elise Stefaniak.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were New York Republicans.
Yeah, a lot of the reporting was through the New York.
A lot of those pictures, shockingly, have disappeared from her social media.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Johnson has a picture with one of these guys. Mm-hmm. Mike Johnson said, well, you know, it was the inauguration. Anybody can walk up to you for a selfie. I didn't realize just anybody could go to the inauguration. I'll go.
Yeah.
I'd love to go. So anyone can just walk in. I thought you needed an invitation.
You need a ticket to get in.
You do.
You have to have a ticket.
So you either have to be someone or know someone who's someone to get there.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yes, exactly.
All right. But they're just boys.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there are layers of problems within this story. One, the fact that they keep on referring to them as children. I mean, that's just not what they are. They're not children. And also, I'm sorry, but if my child, let's say I had two boys and they were texting each other and they were like 10 or 11, first of all, I'd be like, why did I give them a phone? Second of all, I'd be like, this isn't funny. Don't ever do this. I would not be like, they'll grow out of that. No, because you allow them to do these things. It gets worse and worse and worse. And also, and I'm sorry to say this, from a comedian comedy standpoint, they keep saying they're just jokes. Okay. I'm sorry to be persnickety about this. There were no jokes in these. These are just statements of like
they're slurs.
That's all they are. This isn't a thing of like, oh, it's freedom of speech. They're just trying to be funny. No, they're not. I love Hitler. What punchline is that? Where is the joke? Where is the setup? This is reprehensible. And at the very least, J.D. Vance could say, I got things to worry about. I think that the organization should do it. I mean, Mark Wayne Mullen got on CNN and said that this is a zero tolerance thing.
For him.
His boys would never do that. He wouldn't allow that.
Right.
And we don't accept this. Untrue, sir. Untrue.
Well, and obviously there are households where this happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This comes from somewhere.
Their parents.
What this story does show to me, to a certain extent, too, is that it is indicative of where the Republican Party is headed with the next generation of Republicans who have only known Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As the figurehead of the party, as the dominant figure in American politics.
Yes.
I think there's been so many Democrats over the years just like waiting for the fever to break and just waiting for the sane Republicans to take back hold of the party. It's not happening.
No.
This is the future of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Guys in these insane group chats. And now they are going to be in leadership positions and are in leadership positions
already
throughout the Trump administration, throughout Republican Party chapters throughout the country.
We have news coming up next when we return. Boy, they really don't want this No Kings rally to happen tomorrow. My, my, my. Are you going? We'd love to hear from you. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
From the center, WRCE.
107.7 WRCE News from the center.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer.
No justice, no kings, no justice.
No Kings protests across the country. It's the second one this year. More than 2,600 events nationwide. It's all being done to, in their words, fight back against what demonstrators call an abuse of power by the Trump administration. A massive evacuation in Alaska after a powerful typhoon in the far north Pacific. The typhoon pushed the waters of the Bering Sea onto the southwest shores of the state. ABC's Jacqueline Lee reports.
It's been a week since more than 6 feet of storm surge and 100-mile-an-hour winds destroyed homes, killing at least one person. At least two still missing. Remote coastal towns only accessible by air or water were hit the hardest.
More than 1,000 people have already been airlifted. In the Middle East, Israel says Hamas handed over two coffins of deceased hostages from Gaza. Prior to today, the militant group had handed over the remains of 10 of the 28 hostages left in Gaza. This is ABC News.
The Brewers' season comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers were once again dominated by the Dodgers in Los Angeles. The Dodgers winning 5-1 to complete a four-game sweep of Milwaukee. The Brewers going from the best record in baseball to runners-up in the postseason again. Manager Pat Murphy.
We've talked about being an inch from the top and an inch from the bottom. And we faced a really, really talented team that played really, really good.
The Dodgers starting pitcher, Shohei Ohtani, named the series MVP after pitching six scoreless innings, striking out 10 batters, and hitting three home runs in the game, one that left the ballpark.
There's a reason why he's the greatest player on the planet. You know, what he did on the mound, what he did at the bat, he created a lot of memories for a lot of people. And so for us to do it in a game, clinching game at home, wins the NLCS MVP, pretty special. And I'm just happy to be able to go along for the ride.
That's Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a more efficient way to watch TV, this might be a deal for you. You can now bundle Apple TV with Peacock. Apple TV is already ad-free, but if you pair it with Peacock Premium Plus, which is Peacock's version of ad-free, it will cost you $19.99 a month. That's barely a savings from current prices, but if you go with the ad-supported Peacock, you can get both platforms for $14.99. Apple TV right now is currently $12.99, so that's not a bad deal, if you don't mind a few ads. It was pretty much a given Taylor Swift's new album, The Life of a Showgirl, was going to break records. According to Variety, Showgirl sold 4 million units in its first week. The old record was 3.5 million units for a week, which was previously held by Adele, according to Billboard. Swift also set a record, now having the most number one solo albums, breaking a tie she held with Jay-Z and Drake. She trails only the Beatles, who hold the record for all artists with 19 number one albums. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt Nair on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a couple of showers around the area, low in the mid-40s. Early clouds, then sun returns later tomorrow, high upper 50s, a touch breezy. Monday, partly sunny, a high in the mid-60s, a chance of showers late. It's 67 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, and it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please, something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Amy Gaither, director of a new show at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. Then Eric and Adam from Ask Your Mother drop by to rock the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jay Matt and Air, Greg Bach, our one, our only Calzone coming live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor, also the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. Just a reminder, Game 4 is tonight. Brewers at the Dodgers. Broadcast starts 7 o'clock. You can listen to the game if you so choose. WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, in Racine and Kenosha. Catch it on WRJN. Dodgers hosting the crew tonight. Our broadcast starts at 7 o'clock. Fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope. Tomorrow.
Hope is a good thing.
Hope is a good thing.
Oh, both of you with that.
Tomorrow is the No Kings rally. And Republicans are very upset about this. Very upset about this. We have a clip. And speaking of, we were talking, mentioned Charlie Kirk, the horrible murder of Charlie Kirk, which is what it was. And all the talk about toning down the rhetoric. After the murder of Charlie Kirk, everybody's got to tone it down. We have to stop calling each other names.
Take down the temperature.
Take down the temperature. So, yes, fulfilling that, we have White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt talking about the folks who will be at the No Kings rally tomorrow. Calvin, let's play that completely fair description of the people who will be at the rally tomorrow.
Democrat Party's main constituency are made up of Hamas terrorists, illegal aliens, and violent criminals. That is who the Democrat Party is catering to, not the Trump administration and not the White House and not the Republican Party.
Mike Johnson said this morning they're going to descend on our Capitol for their much-anticipated so-called No Kings rally. We refer to it by the more accurate description, the Hate America rally. I'm not sure how anyone can refute that. You're bringing together the Marxists, socialists, Antifa advocates, anarchists, and pro-Hamas wing of the far-left Democrat Party. They hate capitalism. They hate America. They hate all the ideas that we work for every day. Mike Johnson from this morning. Lowering the temperature.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we had a decade of hearing about how saying calling half of the half saying people belong in a basket of deplorables was the worst thing that anyone had ever said. And we need to make sure we are having respect on all sides for all parts of the political process. And no, we've got the White House now saying that the Democratic Party's main constituency is Hamas terrorists.
Terrorists.
And on this list of things. It's ridiculous. Tim Walz had a good tweet responding to this. Most Republicans are good people. Most Democrats are good people. The White House says outrageous things to make you hate your neighbor. Your neighbor isn't the problem. The White House is.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And it's the White House and it's the ultra wealthy. And that's who the White House is representing now. It's the ultra wealthy. Last night, I believe it was last night, there was a big fundraiser for the big, beautiful billionaire ballroom. Right. The government is shut down.
Right.
People aren't getting paid. But hey, let's have a party to raise money for my beautiful private club.
Right.
That's all
with
fine.
His very own arc.
Like, oh, yeah. He's going to get his own arc de triomphe. That's a whole nother discussion. We'll get around to that. Well,
and when you listen to them talk about this, whether it's Carolyn Leavitt, well, whomever it is, they're all... They don't have anything to say about it because they keep recycling the same talking points. Hamas terrorists, they've brought Antifa back into it and are now saying it's an organized group and they've arrested the girl. Like, it's, they don't stand on your policies. While you're marching through the streets, we're trying to get the government up and running. The Democrats won't come to the table, but we have plans for the American people. Instead, it's stuff like this that is just absolute nonsense. And by the way, coming out of Mike Johnson's mouth is some of the most uninspiring rhetoric ever because he has two modes, Mike Johnson and slightly agitated Mike Johnson. He doesn't really do a good job of instilling any sort of, like, you know, big feelings. He always seems annoyed by every single question he has ever been asked. And Carolyn Leavitt, you can do better than naming three groups of people I'm pretty sure who can't even vote to begin with, let alone saying they're just say like pro Hamas. Okay, fine. Yeah, I'm going to go to a rally, so I'm pro Hamas. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But Hamas terrorists? What are you talking about, dude? You're better, quote unquote, than this.
Are they?
That's why I did the quotes.
Are they?
That's why you got to watch in the live stream. Yeah, it's it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the response to the protest tomorrow. What the administration is going to do, but I think there is, you know, and you mentioned that just to connect things to the last segment that we were talking about, the Politico group chat story that was talking about, like, the people that the White House is talking to with these types of comments are in that group chat.
Yes.
You know,
oh, yes.
That is the audience that they are trying to please by saying that, like, the everyone on the left, every Democrat is a Hamas terrorist and illegal alien and whatever else. Right. Those are the people who are. And I think this is kind of part of our ongoing political realignment that we're experiencing, too, where I think you have, like, these psycho incel nut jobs in this group chat, and then I think you have the actual constituency of the Democratic Party now, or it's just kind of a lot of more normal offline millennial parents, I think, in a lot of instances too. And you're just talking, like, people just want better health care. Like, this is not just like this is not like people who are want to, like, completely upend the American experiment. This is just, can we have a little bit better health care?
Well,
can we raise taxes on these rich people? Can we have some level of, like, it's just so dismissive to call people what they call people in these press conferences.
And that also makes me question whether or not these folks have access to a dictionary, because I got news for you. Fascist, Marxist, communist, socialist are not all interchangeable words.
Right.
They all have specific definitions, and you can't just swap one out.
But they don't.
They don't all mean the same thing.
Jane, you're talking nuance. You're talking crazy.
I know. How kooky of me.
But I think that's a very good point you bring up, Dan, is that when it's written in the history books, if it ever is, you think about both of these rallies that will take place this year. It's going to be millions of people marching for a fairer America, not an America that enriches them. It's about just, hey, I'd like to be able to afford to send my kid to school. I got to march in the street for this.
Right.
And what will be interesting to see is how many more people will be protesting this time, and how many more of those people will be individuals who voted for Donald Trump who are saying, yep, wrong. Let's do this. Let's get to work. You know, that's the numbers are what I'm very interested in seeing. And especially in those small towns around the country who have 5,000-10,000 people, how many people will turn out? Because we saw the numbers from Wisconsin, and it was impressive
in June.
For small towns and villages. So that's the, for me, that's the takeaway.
If you're just joining us, Dan Schaefer is here on Matt Nair on Air, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the Recombobulation Area, talking about the No Kings rally that is happening around the country tomorrow. By the way, Midas Touch reporting on Twitter that No Kings organizers say that RSVPs now for the No Kings rallies have more than doubled since Mike Johnson and Republicans started attacking them and calling it a hate America rally. Folks are planning to turn out because they love this country and would like to see democracy preserved, as opposed to, I don't know, just giving all of the power to the executive office. And that includes the power of the purse, which is supposed to belong to Congress.
And there's nothing more American than not wanting a king, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing more American than this. I want to highlight one perspective on this that I thought was interesting. Dave Weigel, who's a longtime political reporter, he was at the Washington Post for a while. He's now at Semaphore. He wrote a piece with the headline, "Yes, Kings, Republicans Revel in Trump's Imperial Presidency." And just talking about how many Republicans like this no guardrails version.
Give it all to
of
him.
Trump
2.0. We need a dictator.
And there was another piece in the New York Times this week talking about how, like, there were actual, looking back compared to what we're seeing now, there were guardrails on what Trump was doing in his first term in office.
Not anymore. No,
those are all gone. And I think now that Republicans are happy with it, because it's just like, well, yeah, I don't want to have to go through all this nonsense with Congress. And, oh, the courts are, you know, they're just holding us up. It's an insurrection by judges and whatever else we got to do. We just want this one man to have all of the power to do everything.
Because he's so smart. Joe Walsh, who is a former Republican, who was a Tea Party member and a very outspoken one, and has since become, registered as a Democrat now. Yeah. But I think this is really important for folks to remember if you are going to a No Kings rally tomorrow. Joe Walsh said in a piece, "Be smart. Republicans want you to F up. They want you to get violent. They want those videos. They're going to have people out at every rally. They want videos of people waving Palestinian flags, Ukrainian flags, other countries' flags, so they can use that video to support their narrative that we hate America."
Well,
so be careful tomorrow. Do not give them what they want.
Well, on
peaceful, respectful protest is the way to go here.
Absolutely. This is about loving America and preserving democracy.
But I will say this. If you go to the No Kings website, they lay out very simply the things you should and should not be doing while you're there as representing that, essentially that brand, which is No Kings. But I'll say this. Fly your Palestinian flag, fly your Ukrainian flag if you want. If they want to take pictures and put that in videos, that's fine. Because at the end of the day, they have to defend why they don't want freedom for other people. As we just said, No Kings is sort of like the kernel of why America became America. And countries and people like the Palestinians and people like the Ukrainians want freedom. And if people out there are saying no, they have to defend why they don't want that someday. Now, maybe not tomorrow or next month, but to me, I think it's reprehensible that they get to say, don't, I fly your flag, fly whatever flags you want, as long as you're staying respectful. But if they want to use those people as narratives of why it's bad, then why do you hate freedom, the other side? Why don't you want these individuals and their countries to be free? That's the thing that really gets to me every time we talk about it.
My whole point is, be safe.
Yes.
Be positive. Mm-hmm. Be celebratory.
Wear a costume.
That's also a thought. I'm just saying. Unicorns for Democracy. I'll see you in Brookfield tomorrow.
Did anyone else find it interesting that I think it was the Mike Johnson clip where they said they were descending on the Capitol? It's like, well, what about all those people on January 6th who descended in the Capitol?
Oh, and that's a whole different thing.
Exactly.
That was a love fest.
I mean, that was just some tourists walking around,
that
you know?
What about that? They're sending Black Hawk helicopters into apartment buildings into Chicago now. There's a lot to protest for what's going on in this current moment.
Yeah.
And I do think it's interesting that this No Kings rally has kind of become this all-encompassing protest too, that is like kind of just pulling together all of these different things. There are more than 100 events planned across Wisconsin this weekend. And so I think people, you know, myself included, have been very discombobulated by this moment. And I don't really know, like, watching what's going on in Chicago and watching what's going on nationally. But I do think there's always an option to make your voice heard and to peacefully protest. And I hope that's the energy that people take into it tomorrow.
Absolutely. Dan Schaefer, thank you so much. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing. I feel the earth move, literally. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is, and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump still thinks he's a game show host at The Apprentice. Heard this great perspective about Tiffany not getting Trump's endorsement. If Josh Schumann feels like he's got to take some shots at Tiffany, which might weaken him, but it makes him look better to Trump to maybe get the endorsement, this is what Trump likes. He doesn't have any incentive to endorse Tiffany as long as he can keep playing him and Schumann off each other.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Cal Zone on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment on the live stream, Hello Live Stream, on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We were talking before the break about the No Kings rally tomorrow. If you plan on going, please be peaceful. Please take pictures. We would love to see them. Andrew from Maine texting in on listening on WAUK. We need people attending the rallies tomorrow to dress up like Mike Johnson and John Roberts so video can show them that MAGA stalwarts stand with the No Kings protesters.
I would say if you're going to dress up like those individuals, I want people who can really dance do that. I want to see someone dressed as John Roberts who can twerk, who can find a light pole and pull it. I want to see someone dressed as a Supreme Court justice
who can really do it,
who can cut a rug. I want to say shake a rug. That's not a thing.
You can shake
a rug. You shake a rug if you want while you're cutting a rug. That's fine.
Not quite the same. Yeah. Coming up on Monday, we will be examining all the things that happened over the weekend. Mm-hmm. A lot of news tends to drop after we get off the air on Fridays.
Yeah.
Shelley Pittman, our civic news, civic media news director, not going to be able to make it. She normally joins us on Monday. So we will do a recap in the first hour of Matt Nair on Air coming up on Monday. So I hope you can join us for that. Right now, Calvin, it is 10:54. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays. Jane says at civicmedia.us. Casper sent this in, one of our colleagues here at Civic Media. The headline from the Express in the UK. NASA says giant China dam shifted Earth's axis and has made the days shorter.
Thank God.
Anthony Arrico with the byline. China's Three Gorges Dam has effectively changed Earth's axis by nearly an inch since it was built 18 years ago, causing our days to get longer ever so slightly. The Three Gorges Dam changed Earth's axis.
I don't even know what to say to that.
I know. It's pretty mind-boggling.
Yeah, I didn't even know you could do that.
Construction on the massive dam began in 94, took about a decade to be finished. It transformed the Yangtze River into a 10 trillion gallon reservoir that does generate a whole bunch of power. It powers over 5 million households for a month. While the dam is a marvel of engineering, it has also triggered surprising consequences to the Earth's axis, a feat most scientists thought was impossible. The 10 trillion gallons of water that the dam holds back adds weight to the Earth's crust above sea level, redistributing mass inside the planet and affecting the moment of inertia. Oh, I know what this means. No, I don't. Scientists at NASA have confirmed the added weight has caused Earth's rotation axis to shift 2 centimeters.
Okay.
Doesn't seem like a lot, but smart people say in terms of planetary physics, this is significant. The rotation of Earth has slowed down slightly as more mass moves away from its axis. This actually is similar to something that happened after the 2004 tsunami, which also shifted the Earth's axis and shortened the day by a few microseconds.
That was
so mind-blowing.
It was mind-blowing, but I also feel like we should have gotten a scientist in here to make me understand it. Just be like, water, world fatter, day shorter. There we go.
It's complicated, but it's kind of it's wild.
Can you even wrap your brain around 10 trillion gallons of water?
No.
I mean, that is bonkers. Bonkers.
It is bonkers.
I mean, yeah. I will say, though, that when China wants to do an infrastructure project, they just do it. They just do it.
They apparently get it
Meanwhile,
done.
We just get wider freeways.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and for watching on the stream. It means the world. Mm-hmm. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you have the chance to share it. We have news coming up next. Yeah. Tom Hartman then from noon until 2 o'clock. Todd Alba takes over 2 to 4. Maggie Dawn, the award-winning Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Pete Schwabba, a little nightlight from 6 to 8 p.m.
And it's not just done after Pete Schwabba. We just don't go off the air. We don't play the national anthem and there's a test sound. There are great programs after that as well, including the Rick Smith Show and Native Roots with Robert Pilot.
So good.
It's a great show. I love listening to it. And I just want to put a plug really quick because we talked to him yesterday. Tomorrow, Amicus, a law review. He will be talking about the Voting Rights Act being in front of the Supreme Court. It is probably the most important decision on the docket this time around. It will affect everyone.
Yes.
Everyone.
Everybody.
And I'm surprised, honestly, that they didn't just take it up as a shadow docket.
Thank you, Greg Buck. And Unicorns for Democracy.
Yeah.
I'll see you tomorrow in Brookfield. Be safe, everybody. Stay with us. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Is news from the center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. More than 2,600 No Kings protests today across the country. Organizers said 7 million people mustered from Boston to Los Angeles, packing streets with signs and chants, protesting the Trump administration's policies such as his mass deportations. ABC's Christian Cordero on Pennsylvania Avenue near the U.S. Capitol in D.C.
We spoke with Bill Nye, the science guy, recently, and he said compared to other protests that he has been through throughout the years dating back to the Vietnam War, he's seeing a lot more American flags, which he attributes to a sense of patriotism.
Several Shelby County, Tennessee leaders, including Mayor Lee Harris, have filed a lawsuit against Tennessee Governor Bill Lee concerning deployment of National Guard troops in Memphis. Disgraced former Congressman George Santos, whose prison sentence was commuted yesterday by President Trump, saying on social media today that he spoke with the president. The Republican pleaded guilty to 2 felony counts of wire fraud and identity theft. This is ABC News. An 18. 18-